The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to First Take here, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Remember suspended wide receiver Josh Gordon. He is not giving up on continuing to play in the NFL. Gordon is turning 30 years old soon and has faced six suspensions since 2013, five of them for form of substance abuse.
There's no quit in me, and, I'm thankful for that, and knowing how to get back on track has been, I think, my strong suit, so. What has been deemed once my weakness, I think, is I can credit for helping me move forward in life. I learned at a certain point in time to kind of cut out a lot of BS in my life. So, you're getting a guy that's focused. At this age, it's late in my career. You know, I only see it a number of ways, and most importantly, you've been getting a great wide receiver.
Stephen A., talk to me here. Do you like, love, or hate Josh Gordon's comments?
I hate him. Because, unfortunately, I don't believe him. That's not to say that I think he's lying, because under no circumstances am I trying to paint that picture. I'm not trying to associate the word dishonest with Josh Gordon, because I don't believe that to be the case. But when you say there's no quitting you, that's one way you can look at it. The other way you can look at it, at least some people would, is that you did quit by continuing to fall prey to what you fell prey to. Now, that all depends on how you look at it. People who have suffered from substance abuse, obviously, you have an addiction, you need help. We get that. But he's been suspended for substance abuse, filing the NFL substance abuse policy five times. Five. He has played in a grand total of 28 games since 2014. We've heard this before. And I think, listen, you can call it drug addiction. You can call it a mental health issue, which we all should be incredibly sympathetic to and empathetic towards. But ultimately, at some point in time, if we're going to add all of those words to the equation, what about the word enabled? And by that, I mean the part of the National Football League. How many chances do you need to give someone? Now, Max has been on the record in the past, chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. If somebody, shows that they're trying to make the effort, give them a chance. I get that. And Max and I both grew up watching, Steve Howe, if I remember correctly, that played baseball. And he was suspended like seven different times. You see what I'm saying? So I get it and I understand it. And, if you're going to do it for one, do it for everybody. I'm with that. All I'm saying is that I wish that when Josh Gordon opened his mouth, I could believe him. Because this is a guy that we know what kind of talent he possesses and what he could be and what he could have been if he was straight, if he were clean, et cetera. Me personally, I just think that, I would much rather think about him having a job within the National Football League as opposed to a player. Because in terms of being on that field and being ready to go, you can't depend on him. You can't trust him because he has shown time and time and time again that he is going to succumb to those addictions. And so for me, that's just how I look at it. I heard it. It was good to hear. But in the same breath, I hated it because it made me ask. The reason why I use the word hate when we say like, love, or hate what he had to say. The only reason I'm using the word hate, Max and Molly, is because the mere fact that he opened his mouth and said what he said there's no quitting him and all of this other stuff. It made us think about what has plagued him over the last 6-7 years. And that's where I'm at with it. And obviously, it's been plaguing him a hell of a lot longer than that, because he's had these issues since he was in school, long before he came into the NFL. I just wish I could believe him, but I don't.
I get it. There's no quitting him. Like, he can't quit the substances, right? Like, the substance abuse. He needs to have a little quitting him there. I get the idea, Stephen A., and I respect where you're coming from. You're saying, look, it's not even responsible to enable someone by keep giving them chances. Maybe you're contributing to the problem. I respect where you're coming from, but I like it. I like what he had to say, and let me tell you why. Because if you're struggling with substance abuse, what we all know now, this is common knowledge at this point, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear someone say something like, I'm never going to touch this stuff again, uh-oh, your ears prick up. You go, wait a minute. You can't predict the future like that, especially given your past. No, 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 no. You got to worry about right now, today, right now. So I'm not worried about what, even though, like, I respect where you're coming from, and I see that big picture, too. I like this because you can't worry about what happened, and you can't think about the past in this situation, and you can't think about the future. All you can think about is right now. Don't quit on yourself today. And if he has that attitude and maintains that attitude, then, and he puts enough of those days together, then I think looking at him and saying, okay, this is your chosen profession, this is what you worked your whole life for, let's give it another shot. Now, Stephen A., I can't pretend that you don't have a compelling case. Wait a minute. Once you get to that point and you give him another shot, maybe you're undermining the work he's done. Maybe he is someone who is better off not actually getting to that place where he gets the thing he's working for, because then it'll undo the hard work. Maybe that is the case. But I can't live that way myself or kind of like hope that for other people. I have to think that if he's putting in the work day in and day out, and he puts enough of those sober days together, mm-hmm. where he says, see, like, I'm going to do that again today. I can't tell mm-hmm. you about a week from now or mm-hmm. a month from now. I could tell you about today. Then I am in favor of giving him another chance and another chance and another chance.
Well, let me be very, very clear. Nobody's rooting against him. My whole point is that I wish he were telling the truth. And I think that the words that he used, no quit in him, is what really, really resonates. Because, Max, you and I can sit here on the outside and look at it from various perspectives, and it's to be respected. I don't totally agree with you. I'm certainly not rooting against him. I want him to come back to the NFL. I want him to be a star, whatever. But the point is, here's why I hate it. Because when you talk about no quitting him, can an NFL team say he didn't quit on him? Can the Cleveland Browns say he didn't quit on him? Can the Seattle Seahawks say he didn't quit on him? Can the New England Patriots say he didn't quit on him? Can his friends, his loved ones, and others say he didn't quit on him? Can NFL officials who've extended a helping hand, can they say he didn't quit on him? We don't know if they can say that. We can surmise that they could very well say, you quit on us. Because somehow, some way, despite all the assistance, and by the way, let's be very, very clear, assistance that most people would never receive. Most people in this day and age, I can assure you, I can't mess up 5 different times and have this job at ESPN. It couldn't happen. You couldn't either. Molly couldn't either. I can assure you in corporate America, that couldn't happen. I could assure you in working America, people ain't going to get as many chances. In most situations, that's not going to happen. Now, obviously, you're a professional athlete, star-studded, because this guy's star-caliber talent, at least he once was. We understand that there's different strokes for different folks, different rules for different folks. We get all of that. But in the end, what it comes down to is that we do get an opportunity when you make a statement like that to look at a history and ask ourselves, well, do you have a history of quitting? Now, some people wouldn't label it that way. Some people would sit up there and say, okay, it's a mental health issue, Stephen. Can't help himself. Fair enough. Others would say, no, it's an addiction. All right, fair enough. But there are people, a number of entities who've extended a helping hand. And one time after another, 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 he has come up short for the same issue. And we can't ignore that.
I get it. And I get, as I said, it is a compelling argument to say, as much as we wish it could be different, maybe it actually enables the self-destructive behavior by giving him a job at a certain level, because the NFL, that's big time, right? Maybe he's better off not big time. Maybe for, like, I understand if that's enabling. I think that the monster got him, Stephen A. That monster got him. And it's a hell of a monster. And as long as he's battling it, as I said, if he can put enough of those good days together, even at the risk of enabling self-destructive behavior, it's hard for me to sit here and say, take away that dream.
I ain't saying no. Let the man shouldn't have a job, shouldn't be gainfully employed, shouldn't have a means to make a living or whatever. But in terms of being on the football field, to me, he has shown you can't trust him to be on the football field.
I just want to say one thing really quick here, guys, because so many people are battling addiction issues and mental health right now, and I understand where you're coming from. But for anybody at home that's dealing with it, it is a disease. And like he's saying, there's no quit. You can't quit on yourself. And it's one day at a time, and you do your best, and you put one foot forward. And sometimes in life, we feel like things are happening to us, but maybe they're happening for us. And we talk about this, if he doesn't get an opportunity. We saw with Chris Carter when he got cut, how it resurrected his career. But at the end of the day, you can't give up on life, and you can't give up on yourself, and you have to do your best, and you have to continue that fight every single day. But the only person that can change themselves is themselves. Josh Gordon has to want to change. It doesn't matter what the NFL does. It doesn't matter if he has a wife, if he has this, that. You can only save yourself. Wanted to get that off my chest because I take addiction very, very seriously.
And I have family members. I have family members who've been afflicted. I just lost a family member in the last week.
Yeah.
And we all have that. But in the end, what it comes back to is it's really about the statement he's made. And then we have to ask ourselves, how many times have we heard him say this? This isn't the first time.
Yep. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An argument can be made that Draymond Green has been one of the best defenders of his era, but not a man known to mince his words. Dray made some of his thoughts very clear on a recent Dubs Talk podcast, saying, quote, "So I think I'm the best defender to ever play in the NBA, and I'll stand by that." Max, how do you feel these comments make Dray look?
They make him look proud. I mean, a lot of people might say foolish, but you have to have the blinders on in order to be Draymond Green. You don't get to go from a second-round pick to a truly great player on a championship team. And let's not forget, he came a play or two away from winning Finals MVP in 2016. Had the Cavs not pulled that out, Draymond was going to be the MVP of that series. And it's not just for his offense, obviously, in that game. It's his defense. This dude can't go create his own shot like the elite players. He can play some point forward, but he ain't LeBron James at the point forward, obviously. He's not a shooter, He's not the fastest. He doesn't jump the highest, but he believes in himself. And that quote shows you the kind of attitude he has to have in order to elevate himself to the position he is. Guys, the fact of the matter is, Stephen A., we saw a guy in a previous era occupy the same role defensively for teams about the same size who was clearly a better defender than Draymond Green, Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman did the things Draymond does, but more athletic, longer arms, the whole thing, and just more disruptive on defense. That's the best defensive player I've ever seen. In fact, Draymond, I would not say, is the best defensive player of his own era. I think Kawhi's been a better defender. If I'm forced to pick a guy, I think there are a couple other guys. I think Ben Simmons this year has been better, or Embiid. There are guys. But Draymond comes across here to me, Stephen A., as proud. The kind of pride you need in order to turn yourself into Draymond Green. So he's wrong, but I don't hold it against him.
He's wrong, but we don't disagree here. I wouldn't call him anything other than wrong and proud. The reason I say that is because Draymond Green is an elite defender. He can defend bigs. He can defend perimeter players. He's an elite on-ball defender. He's a basketball savant. When you talk the game of basketball to Draymond Green, there is no question he knows what the hell he's doing. Now, I've been on him about working on his shot, but that's not defense. That's his offense. He needs to work on his perimeter shot, and particularly his three-point shooting. With some of the open opportunities he gets, if he was making them more frequently, the Warriors would be even more potent. Having said all of that, when we think about some of the greats, think about Michael Jordan, think about Kobe Bryant, think about Kawhi Leonard in this day and age, think about the Paul Georges of the world, think about the Alvin Robinsons back in the day, the Joe Dumars and others. Listen, I just look at him and I just say to myself, excuse me, I didn't consider him a better defender than some of those guys. I certainly didn't consider him a better defender than Dennis Rodman. Now, there are some people that would sit up there and challenge me on that because of Draymond Green's on-ball defensive ability. And I get out of that. But overall, in terms of his defensive prowess, I've watched him enough. I've seen him enough. He's definitely an elite defender. But right now, I'm not sure he's the best defender in the game today next to Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers. I think we got to look at Ben Simmons. I mean, we got to think about that for a second here. And so when I look at it from that perspective, Draymond Green is up there. Draymond Green is one of the elite defenders. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sacrilegious or blasphemous about him mentioning himself in the same breath with the greats on the defensive side of the ball because of what the Golden State Warriors ask of him and what he does on a night-in, night-out basis and what he did for years in helping them get to 5 straight NBA Finals and winning 3 championships. But in the end, would I call him the best defensive player ever? No, I wouldn't even call him the best defensive player this year. I think that might be Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Well, got to believe in yourself before anybody else does. All I know is I can't wait for the Dubs to be back at full strength when Clay gets back. No question. And we got the real Warriors team competing again for a chip.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Well, this is going to be fun. Our guest, one of the best fighters in the world, Stephen A., you love a good resume. How about this? 20 wins in his impressive career. 15 by KO. We now welcome the UFC heavyweight champ, Stipe Miocic. Stipe, thank you so much for being with us.
All right, thanks for having me.
Of course. I like the frames. All right, let's start with UFC 260 this weekend. We're all fired up. You face Francis Ngannou in the main event, a rematch for that heavyweight belt. Stipe, last time it took 5 rounds. How many rounds this time?
You know, I don't know. The sooner the better. Come out unscathed is always nice. But I'm planning for a war, you know, always ready for five rounds, no matter what. That's what I train for. And, you know, if it ends earlier, even better. But, you know, I'm going to get that win no matter what.
Stipe, thank you for being on the show. This guy, the last eight wins he has is by knockout. The last four is first round knockouts. Coming into this fight, is that potentially something that you believe can work to your advantage? The fact that this guy has taken everybody out in his last 3 years inside of 2 minutes, and maybe, just maybe, that could work to your advantage as well. Are you looking at it from that standpoint, sir?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's going to knock me out quick, good, and then, you know, and then he realizes he can't, you know, gets him frustrated. So, you know, I don't know. We're not going to worry about what he's going to do. I'm going to worry about what I do and, you know, implement my game plan and get that W.
Champ, are you surprised that you're the underdog in this fight? You win the first fight. You worked him over pretty good. You were able to withstand his early shots, and you got him on the ground a bunch of times, and you beat him up pretty well. It seemed like his confidence was shot in his next fight against Lewis. He didn't do anything. Yeah, and now he went back to doing what he's always done, which is knock everyone out early. Meantime, you win a trilogy against one of the best who ever did it, and come into the rematch of a fight you won the first time, dominant form, as an underdog? Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I'm at this point, I'm used to it. Vegas hates me, so let's keep it at that. I mean, I don't mind being an underdog. I like shutting people up. So I just, you know, nothing new, honestly.
Everybody points to the fact that obviously – I'm sorry, go ahead, Molly. I apologize. Go ahead, Molly.
Okay, real quick, Stipe, I was just going to say we all love the underdog mentality, a good underdog story, even though it doesn't feel like you are one. I know you're focused on this weekend. I know you're focused on Francis Ngannou, but I got to ask you this. John Bones Jones, a lot of people interested moving from lightweight to heavyweight, obviously considered to be one of the greatest of all time, obviously dealt with a lot of adversity and has taken lengths of time off. But how much would you like a shot at Bones Jones in the octagon?
Oh, it'd be great, but right now my focus is on Saturday, UFC 260. You know, all I care about is Francis. That's all I'm focused on. Task at hand. That's all I care about.
Stipe, educate me about this. Considering the fact that you won the first fight, how you won it, by you know, basically taking them to the ground and what have you, because that's what people try to do with a knockout artist. I guess what I'm wondering about, do you think that the same strategy needs to be employed, or do you think going into this fight you'll need to do something a bit different in order to beat Ngannou?
No, I'm definitely going to do something different, different game plan, just because, you know, in this sport, you have to evolve. If you don't evolve, you're going to get passed by. And, you know, he's definitely working on everything. He's working on striking, of course, but he's working on his ground game, his defense, his wrestling. He's doing all that, as am I. So, I mean, we both evolved since our last fight. You know, he's gotten a lot better, but so have I.
Champ, you know, he can work on his cardio, on his conditioning, on whatever. But to me, that's not really the issue, how much work you put in terms of that stuff in a case of a knockout artist who has been upset, because your first fight, you upset him. He was the favorite in that fight, too. It's about being able to relax. You can be as in great condition as you want, but you have to be able to relax in there, and that experience will show. I'm sure you've studied his fights in preparation for this fight. Do you think he will be able to do that? Are you anticipating a guy who's learned from his first fight with you or not?
I think he has learned, but unfortunately he's got to fight me again, and I'm going to bring that out of him again. I'm not going to, let him just do what he wants. I'm going to make him feel uncomfortable and make it the whole fight just not what he wants and just frustrate the crap out of him.
Let's go back to that underdog label, because you're a slight underdog in this fight. How are you feeling about that, considering the fact that you're the reigning heavyweight champion of the world?
Honestly, I love it. I mean, usually at this point, it seems like it's my storyline. Every fight, I'm the underdog. So nothing new. I'm just going to go out there and just do what I do and get that win, walk out, and still.
All right. Stipe, we can't wait. Thank you so much for the time. It all goes down this Saturday. Best of luck to you, UFC 260. And it's Stipe defending his title, as we just mentioned, against Francis Ngannou in the heavyweight main event. That is at 10 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish on pay-per-view, go to ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy sports partner of UFC. And this Saturday, new players can play free for over $50,000 in prizes when you make your deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with promo code Octagon for your shot at $50,000 in prizes. Only on DraftKings.
Bells, let's talk a little NFL. The Patriots have certainly bolstered their roster, going all in on free agency. Bill Belichick not playing around. Take a look at the moves here. And they improved their passing game by signing Kendrick Bourne. And here he is on what he expects with New England.
I think he's going to ball out, you know, with the weapons they brought in, the help now. And, you know, it was just one of those rebuilding years that they went through and stuff like that. And he was a part of it. So people may say he not looked this good. He looked bad or whatever it may be, but now he has some help and they know what they're putting around him, which is awesome. So I just want to be a part of, you know, 5 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns for me and change the narrative.
Cam's team changed the narrative. Oh, look who decided to show back up for a good time. Marcus Spears, bald and beautiful, coming around causing trouble. Marcus, you know the drill. The fellas first, and then you get to educate the people and talk some sense into them. Stephen A., do you believe Bourne's comments on Cam and the Patriots?
No, I don't. Sorry to say. I got a lot of love for Cam, and I think that he's an exceptional athlete. But I think that particularly in this day and age, you're young and spry like the Lamar Jacksons, the Patrick Mahomes, the Deshaun Watsons of the world and others. You can run with the football, even the Josh Allens of the world. You can run with the football. And when you're Cam's age, not that he's 40 or anything like that, I think he's only like 31, 32 years of age, but he's been hit a lot. Age and attrition is kicked in, and I don't think that, you know, you can't have him run. You can't have him running the football, but so much. And then we get to his passing ability. I will remind everybody that Cam Newton has had, he's been in the league, in the National Football League, for 10 years. He's completed better than 60% of his passes 4 times. One of those times was last year, where he completed 65% of his passes, but still threw 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And obviously, we need to look to COVID and some of the things that may have come into play that may have affected him physically. Fair enough. I have no issue with that. What I do have an issue with is watching him throw the football for the vast majority of his career. I've never considered him an elite, accurate passer. And so when I think about the New England Patriots being successful next season, I think it's going to be because of their defense and their ability to run the football. I don't think it's because they're going to be able to air it out with Cam Newton behind center. I just don't view it that way because I've never viewed him in that manner. I think he can play. I think he's a winner. I think he finds a way to get things done. But when it comes to specifically throwing the football, that is where I've always been suspect about Cam Newton, and I've seen nothing, absolutely nothing, to change my mind in that regard.
Well, ball out doesn't mean just throwing the football. And a whole generation of guys now playing in the league, because Cam has been around for a minute already, have idolized Cam. Other athletes watched Cam come up and was like, whoa, this dude, when he was the MVP of the league, when he was selected by his peers as the best player in the game, while Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and everyone was in their primes. They were all in their primes. Cam was number one, took his team to the Super Bowl. These guys like to play with him. You know, game recognized game, real recognized real. And they're bringing in some ballers on the Patriots who are like, yep, I want to play with this guy. It's not just about throwing the football, although it can also be that with Cam, with North Turner, when last seen healthy before this last disastrous COVID year, right? He was having his best passing year, even better than his MVP season. So ball out can just mean lead your team to victory by making plays, by being a leader. Don't forget, they were so bereft of weapons, as you put, Stephen A., they made Tom Brady look ordinary a couple years ago. He just threw 40 touchdowns, won the Super Bowl when he got out of there. So now they're bringing in weapons to a team. I'll go through my greatest hits, volume 5 right now on this. Coming off a catastrophic injury, missing a year, new system opposite to the one that he'd been playing in, 0 weapons, COVID season, so no preseason to learn his teammates. Then he got COVID. that affected him. Not only would he miss the week, but several weeks after that COVID fog. Practice facilities shut down, putting them farther behind the eight ball. And even then, he led that team to a number of quality wins against good teams last year and came two plays away from going 9-7. Do I believe that that guy, now with a year under his belt, where he will have practice, he will know his teammates can play, he's not coming off a catastrophic injury. Do I believe that dude can ball out? Yes, I do.
It determines how we define it, right? I believe Cam should be marketably better than he was last year, but I'm along the vein with Stephen A. Like, I have to see Cam throw the football a bit more effectively. And remember, this is not the same NFL when Cam was dominating. Cam was a different athlete. That was the name and association attached with him. He was unlike anything. I played against Cam. Cam was the best football player, not quarterback, the best football player on the field when I played against him. That's how good he is. The talent is there from a physical standpoint, what he can do. It's just a consistent ability to push the ball down the field, which concerns people. And then I'm with you, Max. I believe surrounding him, insulating him. I believe Cam is in a situation in his career. He's at a point where he needs to be insulated. This is no longer Cam Superman putting an entire team on his back and taking them to the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots have made moves to help Cam and facilitate Cam being way better than what we saw him be last year. Obviously, two tight ends, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, they're going to run the football. They will be balanced. This is Bill Belichick's MO. So Cam balling out, we cannot define that in our mind how we think about Cam Newton and what we saw the heights of his career be. This is similar, y'all. Think about this. This is similar to me of what we saw from Michael Vick, who I thought was a better passer than Cam, obviously, throughout the majority of his career. But do y'all remember when Vick went to Philly and he was pushing the ball down the field more, when some of that athleticism had departed? And the conversation was, can they win with Michael Vick this way? Can they do what they need to do in order? He came out and had the phenomenal performance against the Washington football team, threw the ball to DeSean Jackson and was going crazy. And we was like, yeah, Vick is Vick. He's going to be able to throw it and operate the way he needs to operate, even if some of that athleticism isn't there. I believe Cam needs more of that athleticism to remind us of who he is, because what we saw, we cannot, absolutely not, take away from what happened last season. And the bottom line is what Stephen A. said, and I hate to say it because I want Cam to have a tremendous year. Based on how he threw the ball last year, I don't know if Cam Newton can take the New England Patriots where they need to go. Now, if that increases, if that gets better, and if Cam continues to work like we know he works, they can have a tremendous amount of success. And we could be talking about the New England Patriots winning the AFC East. If Cam gets his arm better as far as pushing the ball down the field, he has the weapons. He has two tight ends. He has Josh McDaniels, who knows how to work with him better now. So there's a lot of things working for Cam Newton in his direction. Now he has to go out and consistently prove that when he needs to throw the football, he can do it at a high enough level to put the New England Patriots in contention. I expect him to be a lot better than he was last year, but balling out needs some context, because balling out to me from a quarterback perspective is what you saw Aaron Rodgers do. It's what we've seen Patrick Mahomes do. It's what we saw Tom Brady do at times during his career. My point, Max, I ain't saying that. I'm telling you what my definition of balling out is at the quarterback spot. I believe Cam can play play well within context of being insulated on the team that he's on. You have to insulate Cam now. It is no longer Superman Cam taking your team to heights that they wouldn't reach because of his ability.
Let's put it this way. Stephen A., you bring up a good point. And Marcus, you seconded it. Like, can he get the ball down the field accurately? I don't look at the inconsistencies from last year. It's fair to look throughout his career, right? But we know he doesn't have to be as consistent getting the ball down the field as other players. He can lead you and do other things and help you win games in other ways as well. So the question is, can he get it to that requisite level? And I look at that Seattle game. That Seattle game, which they lost, Bobby Wagner made a great play, goal line stand. Cam couldn't punch it in, right? But in that Seattle game, I saw Cam spinning it. Now, remember, of course he's going to wear down over the course of the season. Stephen, I don't just think it's attrition through his career. I think it's coming off a catastrophic injury, missing a year, in a COVID year, not having the weapons, and then he himself getting COVID. Once he got COVID, he was not the same after that for the majority of the season. Certainly, for 2 or 3 weeks afterward, he looked like he was playing in a fog, and we speculated about it, and he later confirmed, yeah, I felt like I was in a fog, that COVID fog you hear about. So I look at the heights from last year. Can he do that often enough, the way he played against Seattle? If the Cam who showed up against Russell Wilson in Seattle shows up this year, the Patriots are all kinds of dangerous.
I have a simple question for the both of you. Maybe it's rhetorical, maybe it's not. I have a simple question. Take away last year. Take away COVID. When we've looked at Cam, as great of an athlete as he is, as much as we love his personality, we love his persona, we love his bravado, we love the Superman stuff, we know he ain't scared of anything, he's a baller. But when you watch him throw the football, cock that head back, a release that's just a tad bit slower than the typical great quarterback that you see and beyond. When you look at him throwing the football, who's really, really believed that he can be that guy? See, that what I'm asking is because on New England, with Josh McDaniel and with Bill Belichick, and what were they accustomed to for the previous 19 years? They were accustomed to a dude who could step back and fling that football. And by the way, not just fling the football, but also somebody whose mindset, just a cerebral approach to the game, he could pick you apart. I mean, he was an upgrade. He was like Kenny Stabler 2.0, for crying out loud. The youngsters out there who don't know, Kenny Stabler's one of the great quarterbacks, okay, in terms of picking people apart, the Joe Montana's of the world, guys like that. We never accused Cam of such a thing. Cam's athleticism, his playmaking ability. Yeah, he could make some throws here and there, what have you. But I'm going to repeat, 10 years in the league, 4 times he's completed better than 60% of his passes. 4. That is not that impressive.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, Stephen A., you make a great point. And Max, I'm with you. We've seen those heights from Cam. The question now is, in this league that we're in now, can you win a championship without a consistent passer? The question is not, can Cam do it? Can he throw the football? Can he? Yes. He has never done it, to Stephen A's point, at the highest level, but he's done it well enough to win football games. But coupled with the Cam that everybody thinks about, coupled with that athletic ability, as being a defender on the field, you are terrified of Cam athletic ability, which opens up a lot of things downfield that becomes easy. I think Cam diagnoses offenses. I believe he can read defenses, all of that type of stuff. Consistency in throwing the football is a must in this NFL now. Let me give you an example. All right, everybody go crazy when I talk about Lamar Jackson and how the Baltimore Ravens need to evolve as an offense in order to continue to grow Lamar Jackson to the point where when he does have to stand in the pocket in certain games, he can do it at a higher level, at the high level like we've seen these other quarterbacks. Does he have the ability? Yes. Can he throw the football with accuracy? Yes. Does he read defense as well? Yes. But it is pressed upon organizations to make sure when quarterbacks either have those deficiencies or when you have time to build that, you get to that point. The question that Stephen A. and I have is, without Cam's athletic ability that was beyond a lot of people that we had ever seen in this game. Is he at a point now where when you have to operate at an elite level from the pocket, can he do it consistently? I'm not talking about one game. We know Cam can do it.
Marcus, you brought it up.
Consistently. And go ahead.
You brought it up earlier. They brought in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Like, they're not going to be, a deep threat kind of attack most of the time. They got two real good and ascending tight ends when they're on the field. They're going to have a different kind of offense that suits Cam.
Max, 100, but that's what I'm saying. The question is about Cam balling out. We have to stop thinking about Cam as the Cam Newton Superman and understand that he's morphing into a part of his career where he's going to have to operate at a higher level from the pocket than we've seen him throughout his career.
Marcus and Max, I would remind y'all that the numbers that I brought up when I talked about him not completing better than 60% of his passes four times. Most of those years, he had Greg Olsen. Let's remember that. He had a tight end.
One dude. His best receiver was his tight end. He was his best running back.
But what I'm saying to you is that he had a tight end, a pretty damn good tight end.
Yep.
And still, the accuracy was an issue. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but he never had an amazing receiving core like some other guys. All right.
He is in a better situation.
He's in a better situation.
He's in a better situation, Stephen A., than he's ever been.
He's in New England.
I agree with this particular team.
It's a great situation.
No question. And they're building a team around him, clearly. All right, guys. Jameis Winston, really emotional yesterday, talking about Drew Brees. Take a listen.
Being able to have an entire season with Drew Brees was a dream of mine. And for him to put his arm around me or, you know, just give me any encouraging words after I saw the resilience, the passion, the way that he went and approached every single day. But that to even be a story, like I was touched by that because he doesn't even know how much he means to me and my family, for real.
Really beautiful moment, vulnerable moment by Jameis Winston there talking about playing with Drew Brees, playing behind him. Max, what's your reaction to that and how emotional Jameis just got?
This is what I would say. I know you're not going to go to bed square and wake up round, right? Like, Jameis Winston is who he is. He takes chances and risks and everything. But if Drew Brees, if a little 5% or less of Drew Brees rubs off on Jameis Winston, he has a chance. He has a chance to be a quarterback in the NFL and not just a backup. Jameis's whole issue is he's irresponsible with the football. You know, as a pro, even in college, but especially as a pro, he does not. One thing about Drew Brees is he was a very responsible quarterback. That's why he was so accurate. If Jameis, you don't want to take the thing out of him that defines him. He is a risk taker. That's what he is. But if he could peel back on that just a little bit, if a little bit of Brees rubbed off on him, that could go a long way. And guys, given his reaction to Brees, maybe Brees had that kind of influence on him. Time will tell, but that's where my mind goes.
I tell you, when you see that, you know, it reminds you of how it's not hard to root for Jameis Winston. He loves the game of football. It's not like he's a scrub. You know what? I might joke around for him giving new meaning for 30 for 30 because he threw 30 interceptions in one season. But let's keep in mind that prior to that, just looking at his numbers, the most he had thrown in the season was his second year with 18. The other three years that he threw, it was 15, 11, and 14 interceptions. So, I mean, that again, the guy's got potential. In his first 5 years in the National Football League as a starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he threw 121 touchdowns. Yeah, it was 88 interceptions, but he threw 121 touchdowns. And so the guy's got potential. It's not like he can't play. And I'm rooting for him, but I will say this. Here's what makes you suspect about Jameis Winston. The fact that last year Sean Payton quickly went to Taysom Hill. Because that made you, if you're not covering the team, if you're not watching the team on an everyday basis or talking to the coaches intimately or whatever, Marcus, you're looking at them and saying, wait a minute, Taysom Hill's got some skills and all of this stuff, but Jameis Winston's the guy that used to be a starter. Jameis Winston's the guy that threw for 121 touchdowns as a starting quarterback the first 5 years in Tampa. He's that guy that has shown that potential. He's the former number one overall pick. All right, this is what he brings to the table. So why didn't he get that job? And I think that that's the question that people have about him now. The fact that it's not us intimately knowing. It's the fact that we saw Taysom Hill get the nod that a lot of us thought Jameis Winston should get. It made you say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why would Sean Payton make that call? And you trust Sean Payton because you know he knows what he's doing. That's the only thing. But I'm rooting for Jameis Winston. Absolutely.
I mean, when I saw it, I thought it was very reflectionary. It not oftentimes black quarterbacks get a second chance in this league to be starters. That's not like a normal thing. And Jameis having the opportunity to go within that organization and watch Drew operate, be around Sean Payton, see the day-to-day. And then I think he's thinking about, like, I have a real opportunity with a really good football team, and I had a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it, pour into me and give me information that I might have not had in Tampa. Remember, guys, like, Jameis never had a chance in Tampa to be like learn the game from watching. If anybody knows me, they've heard me say this 1,000 times. I thought Jameis' biggest benefit would be taking a year to be able to see it happen, to see a guy operate at the highest level. That's why it was smart for him to end up in New Orleans. That's why it was smart for him to be around Sean Payton. And I'll say this too, Stephen A. Sean Payton has said, like, that was something that he wanted to grant to Taysom Hill. And Taysom Hill got his opportunity, and by all means, he didn't shock the world, but he played well enough to be in those games and continue to start. Jameis, in the offseason, too, may have not had the full grasp of what they want to do offensively. I fully expect him to be the starter, and I expect him to have success, because to Mac's point, if he doesn't turn the football over, Jameis Winston is a top five talent at the quarterback spot in this league and could very well have the Saints in contention.
Guys, let me get one more topic in here real quick before we end the show. Stephen A., I'm just going to jump right into it. The Washington football team is considering keeping their name the Washington football team. Do you like, love, or hate this?
I hate it. It's a damn disgrace. And we know how much I raved about the decisions that they've made, the hiring of a Julie Donaldson, the hiring of a Jason Wright, Martin Mayhew. But damn, you can't even come up with a name for your own damn team. I mean, the Washington football team. We don't even know whether it's Washington or Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. That's just ridiculous. Come up with a damn name. It's ridiculous. Come
what
on.
What he said. What he said. What he said.
It's embarrassing.
Same.
You get caught with your pants down.
What are we doing?
You get caught with your pants down because for years you stubbornly refused to change the name, and now you don't even have a backup name?
Not even a name.
Here.
Not even a name. Can't have
it
a mascot, nothing.
It feels 2021. So lazy.
It's lame.
It feels so like, let's just mail it in. We'll just be people Washington football team. Cool.
Ridiculous.